Yes, kids, it's that time again for Oh No, Not Again, the post-punk show. And we're back in the saddle again after the move from Oakland, California to Portland, Oregon. And I'm really glad to be here. Everything went well. There was no problems getting across the mountains in early January. And the only drawback was getting my DSL activated. I got my modem rather quickly within a couple days, but I had to wait for about a week and a half to get my service activated. Thank you very much, provider Verizon, who shall be nameless. Anyway, I have a very special two-part show to get back into the swing of things. This one will be an all-female vocals show, and there may be a hint of male vocals in there occasionally. You'll find out about that a little later on. So let's get right to it. The name of this show is Female Power. Be proud, be loud, be heard. And that comes from a song by Toya Wilcox. And many Americans never really heard Toya. There are some fans here in America. I belong to a couple of user groups, and I go to her website occasionally. I think she's really an amazing person. Her music is kind of, it's not everyone's taste, I understand that, but you really have to respect the woman for her attitude and her stick-to-itiveness and her pride, and that's what I want to accent with this show. So here she is, Mrs. Robert Fripp, and star of many British TV shows, presenter, and she still performs, and I wish she would come to America, but I doubt that's ever going to happen. So here she is, Toya Wilcox. Be proud, be loud, be heard.
I can't leave. building breathes oxygen. Satanic mills, conceptive pills, weave human beings at in recycling graders, tends to white snow. Then who knows? Then who knows? The gray building breathes gray vapors into cold, icy skies. Cold, icy skies. Crystals form in the gray building's hollow eyes. Black.
Two there from Toya Wilcox. That one was Blue Meanings from the album of the same name. And this is also a kind of an interesting find for me. I looked for this album for many years and finally found it on vinyl. And then I heard it was being reissued in a remastered form, coupled with the very first thing she ever put out, which was Sheep Farming in Barnett. and it was impossible to find in America, even though I was living in San Francisco. So I had a friend in England send it to me. And then a couple of years later, I discovered it in the Amoeba sale bin for $4.99 in the original issue, and it made me very happy. Even though I had the remastered version, there's something about having an album on its own, and I really love the cover of this. It's got Toya in front of a gothic mansion in very gothic garb, leaning back in a very strange pose. And I believe at the time she was very into Crowley, and I think that shows later in her work too. The first song was Be Proud, Be Loud, Be Heard, and that is from her album Love is the Law, and that is also from Crowley. That is one of his sayings. So anyway, Toya was considered the queen of punk in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. She was in the movie Jubilee by Derek Jarman with members of the Slits and Susie and the Banshees and Adam Ant. And if you haven't seen it, you really must see this movie. Though I don't know if Toya really was a punk. She had the look, and I think that's what a lot of people latched onto. She had the attitude too, of course. But she really was one of the more diverse performers. She's explored just about every style of music. And the band she is in with her husband, Robert Fripp, or was in, I don't think they're active anymore, was called Sunday All Over the World, and it's really excellent. And it also has Trey Gunn in it, who went on to also be in recent incarnations of the King Crimson Band. So, anyway, explore Toya Wilcox. She's really interesting. The next group is Dolly Mixture, and they're another band that's really impossible to find. I was fortunate enough to find someone who had put their entire Demonstration Tapes album, a two LP album, online in MP3 form. So that's where I got these two songs. The only other thing I've been able to find by them was an EP that I found in Japan at, I believe it was Tower Records in Shibuya, or it might have been at the HMV in Shinjuku. I can't remember exactly. But that was all I was able to find, and luckily these MP3s showed up. So here I am sharing them with you. From what I've been able to read online, these are supposedly the girlfriends of the Damned in the early days, and that's how they kind of got their recording contracts. And I guess the Demonstration Tapes were produced by Captain Sensible, and I have also heard that if you have ever heard the Captain Sensible song Say What, which was a big hit in 81, I believe, or 82, the girls on that are the backup singers are Dolly Mixture. So that's enough for now. Let's listen to them, and we'll talk more about them later. Yes, the incredible Dolly Mixture. And like I say, those are MP3s that I found online. Luckily, because the album is so rare. If you ever see it on vinyl or on CD, you must buy it instantly and send it to me. And I will gladly pay you Thursday for a hamburger today. They are so upbeat and so great and just so bouncy. And usually I'm not into that kind of stuff, but there are some bands that really just are so perfect that way. Them and Shona Knife, who actually the beginning of that track, the second track is called Dream Come True. Really, that reminds me so much of Shona Knife. And also another American band that is going to be played in the second part of this podcast, Nikki and the Corvettes, and they're that kind of sparkly girl pop punk hybrid that is so infectious once you get hooked by it. So let's go on to our next band, and that will be Pauline Murray in her later incarnation. She was the singer for Penetration, one of the early punk bands, and one of the few punk bands to really have a female singer. And Penetration are really awesome. And I wanted to play her stuff with the Invisible Girls, and that is less known than Penetration. And one of the really great things about the Invisible Girls, well, there's a couple things, but one is that Martin Hannett, the legendary producer, is actually a musician on this album. And he, I believe, has writing credits on one of the songs as well. And another note on the Invisible Girls, they were also the backing band for John Cooper Clarke, a Manchester punk poet, rant poet, I guess, if you will. And that connection inspired me to do another version of this podcast that will be a little unusual. It will be a spoken word rant poets podcast, so that will include John Cooper Clarke, Attila the Stockbroker, Lydia Lunch, and Quentin Crisp. So stay tuned for that in the future. It'll be really great. If you haven't heard any of those people, you are missing out. So without any further babbling, here's Pauline Murray and the Invisible Girls. The first song is called Screaming in the Darkness, and the second song is called Judgment Day.
I know it well. Sometimes
definitely a group that didn't get any notice in the United States, as far as I was aware of. That was Pauline Murray and the Invisible Girls. And you could really hear the effects and processing and production of Martin Hannett on that first song, especially at the end. You could hear the flanger and chorus going all over the place there. Great stuff there. And now let's move on to another woman who really deserves more attention and more credit. There is nothing but high praise in my book for her, and only superlatives will do when it comes to Miss Danielle Dax. She began in a artistic performance mode, and she's a visual artist, and apparently now she is a landscape gardener. And she's gone through some very difficult times, and I guess she needed a break from music and performing, and more power to her. And I just hope she does return, because she is one of the best at what she does. She mixes psychedelic, goth, experimental. She's kind of done it all. And her first group was with the Lemon Kittens, which was Carl Blake and her and a few other people, I believe. And she went on from that rather noisy industrial, experimental, almost childlike group to highly produced, highly structured, but still innovative and very creative pop, goth, rock. And without any more commentary for now, here she is, Danielle Dax, with White Knuckle Ride and Cat House.
Show nothing.
Yes, the amazing Danielle Dax. And she did come to America in 1989 as the opening act for the Sisters of Mercy. And unfortunately, at the time, I was boycotting the Sisters of Mercy, and so I didn't get to see her. And I am still boycotting the Sisters of Mercy for numerous reasons. Very good ones, I believe. But unfortunately, it cost me the opportunity to see Danielle Dax. And at the time, I didn't know who Danielle Dax was. So I guess in some ways, it's not a big deal. But in other ways, it would have been great to see her. So the only time I've really seen her live is on video. I bought an eBay videotape from England, and after the bidding was over and the postage and everything, it was probably about $80. And then since it was PAL, I had to have it converted. So that was another $25. So in the end, it cost me about $100, but let me tell you, it's worth it. It's a great video. And then, of course, within a few months, it was reissued and it was online, available for about $28. But hey, that happens. And of course, now it's out of print again. So I still am lucky to have a Danielle Dax concert on videotape. And it's extraordinarily psychedelic, and it's worth every penny as far as I'm concerned. So go out and listen to more Danielle Dax. This next band definitely overlaps the punk and post-punk periods. They are the Slits, and they had the Attitude, definitely, and they really were a punk band, but they also continued on in directions beyond punk. And, of course, they've reformed, and they just toured the U.S. Maybe about a month ago. And as much as I would like to have seen the Slits live, because they never came to the U.S. back in the day, I just could not bring myself to go see them in a reformed version. Apparently, it's Ari Up and some new girls and Marco Peroni from Adam and the Ants, who is a fantastic guitarist, and it would have been probably a really great show, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it, just like I couldn't bring myself to go see the Reformed Sex Pistols, and I could not bring myself to go see the New York Dolls in their current Two York Dolls formation. Not that that is a bad thing. You know, I'm glad that they're getting some credit and making some money, but I'd rather kind of appreciate them for what they were. So without further ado, here are two songs by the Slits from their album Cut.
Nothing he does ever makes sense. us are Babylon lovers. Oh, 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 sweet love on drummers. Hey, check something, man, let's dance. Love's a feeling, and so is stealing. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
The Slits with Love und Romance, and the first song by them was So Tough, and you can really hear the reggae influence there. As far as I understand, Ariup went to Jamaica after the split of the Slits, and she did a lot of reggae DJing, and she is probably the longest dreads of any person on earth, even some of the older Jamaican people. Not that I know that for a fact, but just speculating. Anyway, you can really hear the dub, and that's one of the main features of post-punk. It really brought the funk and the reggae into the picture, and the Slits are one of those very responsible for that. Next, we will have a very rare track, one of those that is really hard to find, or was hard to find, at least for a while. Now they've been reissued on the Crass label, where they originated. This band is called Kukul, and I forget what the name means in Icelandic. I think it means magic or something like that, or evil. I forget what it exactly means. But it was formed from the poetry collective that Björk and Einar Oren and those who went on to become the Sugar Cubes were in. And you can really hear the anarchy in these songs. In fact, it was really hard for me to pick out a couple of songs that I thought were really appropriate. So I only picked one. It's a rather long song, but you can definitely hear Björk's voice in there. And it's in its very raw state, even though she had been singing probably for 7 or 8 years at this time. In the early 80s, she's backed by raucous cacophony, to put it in appreciative tones. And you can also hear the yelping of Einar Oren in there, which some people found kind of irritating in the Sugar Cubes. Well, here you can see where it came from in Kukul. So this will be the last song for part one, and definitely stay tuned for part two. There's going to be some great stuff, and let's let them do their thing. Here is Björk and Kukul.